Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Probably my favorite person commentating on the controlled demolition of the world at the moment. Alex Craner is back with us for some important information and insight that not everyone out there is fully understanding. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Always a pleasure, Mel. Warm greetings to your listeners and viewers.
Thank you. Always a relief to see you, honestly. A clear-headed person that is coming at this from a level-headed place where many people aren't. So we just watched this Munich conference go down where they all kind of rallied around Ukraine and nothing else. We had Zelensky up there looking tired and defeated, yet proclaiming that they are winning somehow, and also reminding the world that the rules-based international order is in danger, and it's up to Ukraine to win to save it. So your take on this conference that they just had, which seemed to me to be some kind of a schizophrenic event where people were walking and talking in circles.
I think you characterized it better than I could say. Whatever I add, I think it was pathetic. It was extremely embarrassing because these are our leaders, supposedly.
Right.
Zelensky, who sacrificed 500,000 of his countrymen and destroyed the country on behalf of the Western interests, gets a standing ovation. I don't know if that's worse or not worse than an actual real life Nazi getting a standing ovation in the Canadian Parliament, but it's right there. It's right up there. And so, yeah, I was extremely embarrassed. And then they put together that stunt with Alexei Navalny's wife, which is so fishy. It smells down to here. I can smell it. It's awful. There's actually well-founded suspicions that Navalny was snuffed up for the occasion because she got an invitation before anybody knew that he died, before he died. And she was up on the stage delivering a speech. What nobody knew was that she already has a boyfriend.
Right.
You know? So apparently her boyfriend and she were quite crushed by the news, but, you know, still made a show made their show on the Munich Security Conference. The whole thing was so pathetic. I wish it didn't happen because I just feel ashamed because I am still part of this world, and I cannot believe that these people represent me in any sense. But you know they do apparently.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. I've been saying we should all be equally appalled that this is our government, let alone these are the people that are, you know, somewhat, I guess, leaders of some sort. I'm not sure what they're leading anymore. A very dangerous thing that was said there by, I believe, the head of the legal side of Zelensky's regime, demanding basically that they get nuclear weapons, that that's the only way forward. Imagine that. And saying that there was no path to peace when not only did we hear Putin say it and Putin reassure the Polish people that he has no interest and why would he, as you've been saying all along, want to go into any of those countries. But now the idea that they're talking about so freely that nuclear war is inevitable, rather than any talk about peace, should be an alarming thing to everyone on planet Earth right now. And I really do think people have to take this seriously, that they're talking in this way as if it's a little thing, as if this isn't the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah, this is an extremely serious question. You know, this is actually what I think actually precipitated the war, because it's been building up in this direction for a long time. And it seems, I mean, this is well documented. It seems that at least part of the Western leadership, so it's not going to be everybody on board. This is so crazy. It's not going to be everybody on board, but there is seemingly a small clique of players who are very powerful in the United States and NATO structures who actually planned the nuclear war. Because, you know, it started a long time ago in 2002. The U.S. unilaterally withdrew from anti-ballistic missile treaty. And then in 2019, under Trump, they withdrew from the INFT treaty, which is like short and medium range ballistic missiles treaty. And they built missile defense launch sites in Romania and Poland. The narrative was the whole time that it's like, oh, no, no, this is a missile defense against rogue states, you know, like North Korea and Iran, which are on the wrong side of the world, right? This is on Russia's doorstep.
Right.
And, well, the problem is that these missile defense sites use these Aegis 41, I think, launchers, which can, as a matter of hours, be converted into offensive weapons that can launch Tomahawk missiles, and they can launch with the power of 150 kilotons, so more than 10 times the Hiroshima bomb. And so apparently the idea, the strategy, was that they would launch a first use nuclear strike against Russia, hit Russian command and control centers and their nuclear facilities in order to debilitate Russia's, first to destroy the deterrent, because Russia's deterrent was, if you hit us with the nukes, 100% you're getting all our nukes your
right
way.
Back at you. Right.
And so under this INFT treaty, there was like mutual inspections and control.
Yes.
So everybody knew exactly where everybody else's launch sites are. So they know exactly where to hit to deprive Russia from their deterrent and to destroy their command and control so they can't mount a defense. And then right after that, there will be like a land invasion through Ukraine and through the Baltic states. Everybody, like in World War II,
yep.
Finland, Sweden, everybody, the Baltic states, Poland. That was the idea. And then, according to Russian sources, whether it's true or not, but it appears that Ukraine had themselves, that they had a nuclear research facilities where they were working on launch vehicles and on nuclear warheads inside of Ukraine. So one facility was right next to Chernobyl, because that, the radiation from Chernobyl can mask the radiation that will be discerned, detectable from these. And then in Kharkov, apparently, another research facility. And so now, because from Poland, the missiles would go about 7 minutes to Moscow, right?
Wow.
If they launch from Chernobyl or Kharkov, it would be less than 5 minutes. It would be maybe as little as 3 minutes. Not enough for Russians to respond. The Russians cannot mount a response in 3 minutes. And so some crazy group of people that are still running the show actually thought like, well, if we do this, then they don't get to strike back and we get to take Russia. Isn't that an awesome plan?
Oh my God.
And so, when Putin went, when Russians went, launched their special military operation, they may have spared us from being incinerated. So, if we're still alive, because also keep in mind that at the Pentagon, they were regularly running these simulations of what would happen if there was an invasion and a nuclear attack on Russia. And their estimate was that about a billion casualties.
Oh my God.
Which they're perfectly willing to risk, because it wouldn't be them, it would be us. And so, but we're, so that's why when Russians went in, they were very, very keen on taking control of Chernobyl.
Yep.
Because apparently they wanted to secure those facilities, the nuclear research facilities.
Right.
And this may have spared us the nuclear war, but we're not out of the woods, because these people who were thinking up these fine plans, they're still thinking up those same fine
right.
plans. And obviously some of them are talking to Zelensky and they put ideas in his head. And he's thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great to have nuclear bombs? We could fight against Russia with nukes.
Well, actually, Zelensky, as we talked about a long time ago, before anything happened, before the Russians went in, Zelensky was talking about nuclear weapons very openly. He also gave a giant
speech
at the World Economic Forum about basically Ukraine being open for business to everyone. So it wasn't, this isn't new. This is just being repurposed to kind of ramp it up now.
Yeah.
But he did mention that and Putin and everyone else was in Russia was saying he's threatening us with nuclear weapons, and then they'd act like, no, he never said that. He did
Yes.
say that before any of this happened.
Zelensky said this in Munich Security Conference,
Wow.
19 February 2022.
There you go.
Okay.
Right.
And
Before.
2 days later, Putin was signing the recognition of the two Donbass republics, Lugansk and Donetsk People's
Exactly.
Republics. And on that occasion, he gave a speech and he said, this thing that Zelensky is doing, talking about the nukes, rest assured, this is not empty bravado. They're actually thinking about doing this. And this is why, the special military operation launched, because, the
Exactly.
world was at the precipice of a nuclear Armageddon, 1 billion casualties, which would be mostly in the West, It would be
Yeah.
mostly in the West, Western Europe and the United States.
Yeah. Well, what we understand right now is that the United States, or the people of the United States, are finally, I think, beginning to understand that we are not safe because we have an ocean between us and them, because so many people have come across our border and elsewhere, open with the open border situation, that people are starting to actually take it seriously. But what did happen last week is a terrible person, in my opinion, Turner, came out and made a threat. That there was a high level verified threat on the homeland of the United States. This went out like everywhere that you looked, it was like they're saying this, and we must give the money to Ukraine because there's a dire threat to the homeland of the United States. This ended up being basically debunked, if not completely blown away. But like we've talked about, you and I, many times, because you talk a lot about the psychological aspects of the war we're in. Immediately, all the talking heads, everyone that jumped right from COVID to Ukraine to the next thing, are out there spewing this that we're in imminent danger. Russia has some kind of space alien, situation up there that they're going to attack us at any moment. I mean, at this point, they don't even care what they have to say or do. They don't care if it causes panic. They don't care if it's true or false. The money needs to go to Ukraine by any means necessary, no matter what it takes. And that leads me to question why? Because this isn't about Ukraine. There's like, what is the bigger picture with this package of money going there? It's obviously from all the stops that they're pulling, and then they turn the Navalny thing into we have to send the money to Ukraine. There's going to be something else today or tomorrow about it, and then we have to sell the money to Ukraine. What is this really about?
Well, I think that we have to. Okay, so it's always about the clash between two systems of governance. That's always the starting point, And Western system of governance is an oligarchy with a thin veneer of democracy
Yes,
to embellish
exactly.
it,
Yeah.
and then it's the rest of the world, including us, including the domestic populations. They are opposed to humanity, period. And now the most valuable prize in these conflicts is the Eurasian landmass, particularly Russia, because of all the nations in the world, Russia has the largest resource wealth in the world, estimated at $75 trillion. Now, imagine if these $75 trillion worth of assets got to be the collateral of your bank and you got to issue credit to your friendly corporations to go and extract this wealth. And oh, guess what? 150 million Russians. They'd serve as a good labor force to run the mines, chop the woods, run the plantations, and so that's what it's all about. Now, they made all those good plans a long time ago, and Rand Corporation, as recently as 2019, wrote a whole How to Unbalance Russia. Well, today it's obvious that none of this works. So they are out of ideas, and it seems to me. We have to also take into account that these people are actually stupid, honestly,
Right.
and that they are so, like they're in the gambler's ruin position because they have put so much into this project. They've invested so heavily and they have no plan B. And so what do? You just knee-jerk keep piling more money, more bodies, more weaponry in a desperate hope that somehow, by some miracle, the thing will turn around in your favor. They're out of ideas. Like just like in World War I, when they made these these waves after waves after waves of soldiers running against the enemy trenches,
Yeah.
because they thought up that tactic before people invented machine guns. Well, now the other side had machine guns and they were just easily mowing all
Taking
these
them out.
soldiers. So instead of staying like stop, it's not working. They were like, well, if we only throw more bodies against them, maybe they'll run out of bullets eventually. So, you know, it was like millions of soldiers getting killed because the generals, instead of saying, we cocked up, stop now and let's rethink it, they were like, no, no, send more soldiers, more soldiers. And so now these people are in the same position, you know, like they're losing and their only reaction is, let's put more money into it. Let's put more bodies into it. Let's put more ammunition and weaponry into it. But, you know, what's this $60 billion going to do that the previous $200 billion didn't do?
Right, exactly. And then they want to also put arms in Taiwan and Israel at the same time, when I believe all of these wars are being funded and pushed both sides by the same people that are fully invested in the global governance model. And the scarier part here, too, is that I'm sure you're watching, obviously, what's happening in America. Now, there's a litmus test in my mind right now for the people that are actually honest, that are have a conscience, have an understanding of what's happening in our nation and our place in the world, to the people that are cheering on the verdict and the punishment of Donald Trump this past week in New York City. I recently left. I spent most of my life there. It is a travesty and very sad. But again, there are the talking heads on, I call it Intel Media, MSNBC and other places cheering this on as if this is a great thing. I think that this is not just a situation that is affecting America. I feel like the whole world watched what happened this past week to Trump and it changed. It crossed a Rubicon. It's a whole different game when you're watching a fraud that did not happen in a fraudulent political persecution with a tremendous amount of money with no victim, wondering where that money's going. I would say probably the same place Black Lives Matter's money went in 2020. But whatever the case may be, what does this look like on the world stage, being that you see it from a different, from outside of our nation?
Well, you know, it looks like the scenery is being taken down. You know, I forget exactly the Frank Zappa quote, but he said, like, you're having the illusion of freedom for as long as that freedom is profitable and convenient to the people in charge. When it's no longer convenient to them, they're gonna take down the scenery, and you're gonna see the brick wall. And this is, I think, what is happening now. We yep. see that this is a naked oligarchy with all the hallmarks of oligarchic power throughout history. And I think that if we study history, we see that this goes to no good end.
Yep.
It gets rapacious. It gets ugly, violent, unscrupulous, and they pull out all the stops, and they go as hard as they need to, as brazenly as they need to, because they are in the fight of survival.
Yeah.
And I think that it's our job to make sure that they lose that fight.
Yeah. Well, people might not know, you've been on for almost 2.5 years, but people might not know that you lived through a color revolution and you were in created wars by outside forces. I believe we are in one of those color revolutions in America. And the people that are involved in it, as most people know at this point, after 9/11 and the very unconstitutional, worst thing that happened to our country, the Patriot Act was passed. Our government, which was, folks, I always have to remind people, was written way before 9/11. So 9/11 became the impetus to put in the Patriot Act. All those same people that were involved, including Joe Biden in writing it, have pushed themselves into the, you know, there's a senior executive service and all the people in the agencies that don't change. Maybe the heads do, but the presidents come in and out. These people do not. It's almost impossible to get rid of them, which was part of what Trump was going to do with Schedule F when he won in 2020. But now we're at a place where the American people understand that there is a fourth branch of government that was born out of the Patriot Act that should not exist. The Constitution of the United States obviously has been suspended by these people, at least in DC and the Southern District of New York. But our intel agencies that respond out of, and this is in Europe as well, out of 9/11 and the Patriot Act, seemingly are functioning above the government by themselves with nobody in between, no oversight. This is a very dangerous thing. You lived through this in the history in Europe. The American people, I don't know if they fully understand what is going on here, but do you see that from your point of view, that we have a surveillance state that is apparently has no one stopping it at this point?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I think that as, you know, people who paid attention I think, realized that the United States was the central battleground here, because the United States is, the United States, I think, is the power that could tip the scales of, you know, which model of governance the world adopts, you know, because the United States is a productive, large productive economy. It's an economic superpower. So if the United States joins, you know, the Eurasian countries in Eurasian integration, trades with them on an equal basis, you know, on a fair basis, rather than being the empire and extracting resources from around the world. And the United States dumps the undead British Empire and the European old money oligarchies, then the world moves on and it goes to a better place. So right now, I think that these oligarchies are fighting very hard for the United States, and there are two possibilities. Either they're going to manage to perpetuate this rule by the deep state and the DNC, the Democratic National Congress, or they're going to try to partition the United States to turn it into a Bantustan of small, weak client states that they can maybe control and manipulate. And so, we are kind of right back in 1861, you know, when somebody wants to destroy the United States, and then it's down to the American people if they're gonna realize what's going on, defend the Union, and preserve the Republican foundations.
Right.
But obviously, you know, the political establishment and the media are fully on the wrong side of this struggle, so they're deliberately confusing the issues. They're deliberately not putting any context on it. They're deliberately misdirecting, you know, hey, look, Taylor Swift. Hey, look, right, exactly. Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And so it's very difficult. And, I think we have to try to push from the bottom up to reach to as many people as possible. And I think encouragingly, many people do understand this.
I do think
and
that too.
Thankfully, yeah. And thankfully, fewer and fewer pay any attention to the media at all.
Yeah, it's great. That is important. But the one thing that does seem very clear to me, and because you have to ask why. There's also a bunch of people we've known all along at my show, but most people have, that the entire group that was behind Crossfire Hurricane, and now a lot of information that was out a long time ago, Lee Smith and other people put it out years ago, is now resurfaced because some more left-leaning journalists have uncovered what has been factually true for the whole time, which is Crossfire Hurricane was based on a total lie that was set up by John Brennan and the Five Eyes to go after Trump well before Crossfire Hurricane was even launched, certainly through all this, what they're calling bumping, but you and I know it as spying and spycraft and all of that. But it turns out that both that the American people are, at least a new group of people are now realizing that Crossfire Hurricane was a total fraud. The Mueller report was an investigation of a known fraud. Both impeachments were a known fraud by all these same people that then were involved in the run-up Transition Integrity Project to the 2020 election fraud. And they've all put themselves back in power. So there is a situation in America where there's like a fifth column. Some of them are involved with think tanks and NGOs, obviously globally funded by globalists in their NGO way. But the point is now that we have to understand, and this is what I keep saying, I believe that this group of people that we're talking about in America that are running the country from above, they are totally, totally invested. Blood, fortune, future in every way in the global governance model. They never thought that they would be able to, that anyone would ever wake up. I think they really overplayed COVID. But I feel like this is still a very small group of people. And I want people to understand that this is not...
It's
you know,
a
this
very,
is
very small group
right.
of people.
So I think
absolutely.
It's important
very
to talk
small.
About that.
Well, we don't know how small it is, but we know that, well, I don't know, you go back to Henry Ford and he said that you can probably, it's probably down to about 30 people.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what you had in the Roman Empire, just like a very small group of people running everything else. But, you know, they're running it through subterfuge, through conspiracies, through deception. And I think that they've run into very, very serious headwinds. And I don't think, you know, I don't think that they are in an enviable position. They're not controlling things. This is why the masks are falling off everywhere, and you know, the same system of governance that kind of smoothly flew under the radar, and if you pointed this out to anybody, they think you're completely crazy.
Right.
Well, now people are thinking, whoa, something's going on. This doesn't seem right. And so they're paying attention, and they realize there must be some group, because it's obvious that Joe Biden's not running the show.
Yeah.
The most powerful man in the world.
They don't even hide it anymore.
In the middle of like how many wars, his defense secretary disappears for several weeks. The war machine's still humming along.
Right.
Who's running it?
Right.
You know, so obviously. And then, you know, this the violation of laws left and right just to get their ends met.
Yeah.
Makes it obvious that the whole system has been thoroughly corrupted.
Right.
And that it's going to have to be purged. Well, you know, it's going to have to be purged, but how? I don't know. I hope it doesn't get to the point of civil war. But, you know, a long track record through history suggests that this is a distinct possibility, that this could actually happen. And then we're back in 1861, you know, and we'll see. But their gambits are less and less likely to succeed. And they're driving themselves to destruction through their panic. You know, they're flailing around, but they're going to end up killing them, destroyed.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that I we've talked about before on here is that the statecraft, the risk players, the strategic geniuses that came up with this plan, being the Kissingers, Brzezinskis, Rockefellers, their partners at the Crown, some of these, they didn't spawn a generation after them that is capable of pulling off the same kind of covert operations now. And they also I don't think that the people that are kind of coming up under them are have even close to the ability. You're watching Anthony Blinken or Sullivan or Nuland or any of these people, and they speak and you just feel it's so hollow and you don't have any respect for them. And I don't think they have respect at all around the world. So there are a lot of people out there who look at this and think, Donald Trump is the only person right now still that the rest of the world leaders might very well be able to deal with, because what we're hearing from North Korea, from Iran, from China, from Russia, from India, is that they will not deal with this ilk of to them, people that have backstabbed them, lied to them, signed treaties knowing they weren't going to keep them. So there are still people out there that are like, you know, total Trump derangement syndrome, Trump haters. But at the same time, we are hearing world leaders talking about, well, when Donald Trump comes back, as a given. This is the conversation has changed. First, it was like Jamie Dimon at World Economic Forum being like, Trump did a lot right. And now you're seeing Dimon and pulling out of this UN climate thing. And then you see all these world leaders being like, well, if Trump does come back. So the tone has changed dramatically towards and Orban even this morning saying he hopes he does. So what is your take on the worldwide conversation about Trump changing at the same time that these lunatics in our country are trying to put him in prison? Hey, Mel Kay here. Beverly Hills Precious Metals is my preferred choice for gold and silver. Head on over to the Mel Kay Show Partners page and click on the tab for Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Silver and gold are God's money. They're a great way to fight against inflation and keep your hard-earned savings safe. With the national debt out of control, runaway government spending and printing, inflation continues to soar. Beverly Hills Precious Metals can help you shield your wealth from volatility in the markets. Protect yourself today. Go to the MelKayShow.com partners page, click on Beverly Hills Precious Metals, fill out the form, and let's get started. Protect yourself, protect your family, and protect your future.
The Biden administration has been a profound disappointment to everyone around the world and to most of the American people also. And I think that it's pretty much a given that Trump might be the only person who would be taken seriously again, and with whom the other world leaders would be willing to engage, right, to repair relations and to begin to start and set the world straight. Is that going to happen? I really hope so. But you know, they're at their level of desperation where I wonder what they're capable of doing, because, you know, some of these people talking at the Munich conference, you can see the undertone of like, what if we pulled off a false flag attack? Because yes, people need to be jolted into taking this war seriously. We're losing and everybody's complacent. We need like a big jolt. They're saying this.
Yeah, it's like the PNAC document. You know, remember the first page of that Project American Century document that said they needed a Pearl Harbor type? It's the same mentality, same people.
Exactly. But guess what? Those same people, before 9/11, they formulated Project for the New American Century, right?
Right.
It was going to be unipolar world order, full spectrum dominance. They planned it all out. Today, they are much, much further away from that goal than they were when they started.
Yes.
So that tells you how capable they are.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of
let's
the same
hope
people.
That they keep the same track record of success throughout.
Yeah, and I think also the backfiring of the persecution of Donald Trump on such a grand scale that it's like it's shocking to the system to see the verdict and then the money and then knowing that there was no crime. If you're honest with yourself, there are probably 20% total Trump derangement syndrome. Anyone that was cheering on the E. Jean Carroll verdict or this verdict, to me, they're not honest players. They're gone. They don't have a conscience of some sort. But what you're saying, though, is really important to remember is there's no longer a situation where the rest of the world leaders think Trump is on the team of the people that are working right now. They 100% know that Trump is not on the team of the people trying to persecute him and destroy his family and his business. So that is another aspect of Trump being, for at least for people that want freedom and peace negotiated and new world forward where there's actual cooperation amongst nation states that's honest, is these guys aren't looking at Trump as he's one of them anymore. And I think that that's actually strategically helping him rather than hurting him as they hoped.
Yeah.
So let's talk about another thing happening. So the whole Navalny thing, of course, makes me crazy because I've been talking a lot about Julian Assange's hearing coming up this week for extradition. And the fact that Julian Assange has been tortured and persecuted all these years, and then all these same people who allowed this to go on didn't say a word about Gonzalo Lira, didn't have him lifted a hand or done anything for Julian Assange. Now we're talking about Navalny, like they're like, oh, but this.
Yeah,
so we have this extradition this week. What are your thoughts on what's happening here, and what you think is going to happen to Julian Assange?
I'm afraid I don't feel very optimistic. I think whatever happens, you know, this is a collusion. You know, extradition, first of all, an extradition process shouldn't take this long.
Right.
Second of all, there's no need for a person charged with no crime, who is not a violent person, who is not a dangerous person, to not be able to defend himself from liberty. Or maybe, you know, maybe house arrest. But to keep him in a solitary confinement 23 and a half hours a day, that's just deliberate torture and cruelty. Yes. And I think that the collusion between the US side and the British side was to try to get rid of him. Maybe he just dies, you know, maybe. And so now whatever they do, they're not going to let him go free. I doubt that they're going to acquit him. That seems inconceivable to me. And they are such petty, vindictive, vicious people in those structures of power that they will do everything to harm him, to make sure that he never speaks freely to us again, and he might be disappeared into somewhere in the United States in some dungeon.
And after watching what they're doing to Trump, I don't think they care at all what the people think, and the nothing makes me sadder than watching what's happened to Julian Assange. I think he's a total hero. And don't forget that the same team, Crossfire Hurricane, they need to keep the lie going that Russia hacked the DNC. That's what the whole thing was the predicate of. So Julian Assange ever having the opportunity to tell where he got which now, again, I don't know if you know, the Seth Rich case came back up and the FBI suddenly says they're not turning over anything that they were supposed to because there's still an open investigation into the Seth Rich murder. So the Julian Assange thing also, again, connects back to the same people, I believe, are the fifth column hellbent on destroying America for their own. And I think they're very scared. And Julian Assange is a big threat to them personally. And I wish people understood that more, that it's not that Julian Assange put out secrets and committed espionage. It's that Julian Assange is a threat to the people that really, I believe, are the enemies of the United States from within.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. And I think that they will continue doing what they do. But, you know, let's always remember where they started, where they're now. It's like they're flailing around in quicksand.
Yeah.
And it's going to get ugly. And I'm afraid that there's no rescuing Julian Assange unless Trump comes to power and pardons him, which is conceivable because he was, you know, what we learned from Judge Andrew Napolitano over these past few days is that Trump talked to him, that they talked about pardoning Assange and Edward Snowden, that Andrew Napolitano recommended pardon for Assange and Snowden, that Trump agreed with him and thought that he would pardon them, and then that the people around Trump kind of changed his mind. And who knows, you know, if Trump comes back into the office, maybe he will not be taking advice from people like Pompeo.
Well, I don't think he'll have any of those people in, because now it turns out with a lot. I talked to Cash this week and to George Papadopoulos, who's like patient zero in the Crossfire Hurricane. And I'll tell you, both of them, they also think the whole Bill Barr was brought in to be a deflection. You know, these people right now, Mary McCord, some of the other ones, they're giving interviews saying that they're preparing now for just in case Trump comes in to make sure he's tied up in litigation and impeachments again. So, I mean, this is how much this fifth column that's running America from the shadows is, you know, with the guy that's running the border, everything going through the border, what they're trying to do right now, which should be disturbing to everyone, not just in America, is this same group of people are trying to put in all these laws and legislation that cannot be undone. Cass Sunstein, who's like the hero of this group from Harvard Law, you know, married to Samantha Power, who's running the money around the world, you know, the regime change queen, he's writing the border laws that are keeping our border open, and they're trying to write these laws. And like you saw, the Vance had said that the thing in the Ukraine money thing, there was a bomb in there, impeachment bomb that would be able to trigger the impeachment again. So these people are openly colluding a year before and 10 months before the election to say, if Trump does win, we're not going to let him govern. So again, we have a whole scenario again, the same people, and it's, I guess, up to the American people to see it and counter it. I do hear that Trump has a lot of people doing that, but
you know, Mel, I'm going to say something here, because this is exactly, because you know, like you have these certain history professors who lambast Abraham Lincoln because he during the Civil War, he conducted this massive purge of the American political system,
right?
And he imprisoned tens of thousands of people.
And media.
And now I hope that with understanding of the current processes going on in the United States, that people can maybe understand why that was necessary.
Yes.
Why Abraham Lincoln had to do that. Because they tried to, you know, portray him like some kind of an evil tyrant. But actually, this is the kind of evil he had to purge from out of the political system.
And it might be the only way.
Enough. He was too soft. You know, he didn't go hard enough.
Well, you see all the op-eds from people that were involved in the PNAC plans, like Kagan out there, Norm Eisen, Weissman, all these same guys. They're writing op-eds in the fully controlled Washington Post, New York Times, Atlantic, saying Trump's going to be a dictator. Trump's going to imprison his people. Trump's going to be all about revenge and all that, where I say, no, he's going to be about literally saving our country by getting rid of this deep embedded corruption that has turned on the people, because the war on Donald Trump. And we can talk about this to go out, because you really hone in on this a lot. The war on Donald Trump, because imagine he's only in there 4 more years and look at what they're doing to him. is really about the 80 million people that still believe in America, that vote on America First, that believe in our national sovereignty, that believe that we are a great country, that believe that we should be proud of our history. It is a war and a demoralization campaign on the voters that voted for Trump, 80 million plus, that to just they're not useful to this ruling class we have in America. And I think that this whole war on Trump is really about us. Is really about the people that believe that America should remain as our founders delineated, and we have pride in our nation and want our national sovereignty to remain what it is, and our country to be a constitutional republic as intended. I really believe that this small group of people, they're doing, like I said to Roseanne the other day, they're coming up with their final solution for the Trump voting bloc. It's not really for Trump. It's really for us. That's how I feel. And I think we really have to understand that that campaign is about us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what Trump said, didn't he? He said, they're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way. And that's really. And I think that it's extremely important for us to push back, for us to fight back, because, I kind of thought about everything that happened in Ukraine over the last, 8, 9 years. And you remember in 2014 they had a coup, and then after the coup they had an election, and in that election the extreme right parties won the total of 1.6% of the vote. So the people were not interested in extremists. Okay. And in 2019 they swept Zelensky into power because he was promising peace. Right. He was promising normalization with Russia. He was promising re-legalizing the Russian language. So that's what the people want. 73% of them voted for Zelensky. And then, that was 2019. And then 5 years later, the country is destroyed. It's in war. 500,000 Ukrainian people died. And you have these squads of desperados going around picking up young boys and old men. Because apparently, I learned it from some Telegram channel. They're collecting 300 euros per head, per body that they can shove into the trenches. And, how did that happen to Ukraine? How did that happen? We need to think about that, because we're not immune to exact same thing. And you can see that the governments in Western Europe are starting to ramp up the rhetoric about we need to go to war against Russia. We need to go to war against Russia. We need conscription. We need people to join. Isn't it fun to go to the army, Boris Johnson? And in the United States, the same is starting to ramp up versus China.
Yep.
And so if we complacently watch that happen, then it might be our kids next who are going to be picked up on the streets. And those graves in Ukraine where you see Ukrainian flags as far as the eye can see, that could be our kids.
Absolutely.
We need to freaking wake up.
They can't do it without it. They can't do it without it. They don't have enough troops. It will be our kids. And that's what people have to realize. And that's where I say, this is why I know civil war is the path they want. I also see the propaganda coming out of Hollywood to push towards a civil war and through all other channels. But the truth is, at the end of the day, if they're going after our kids to send our kids over there to die so that they maintain power in this crazy power structure, that's not going to matter if you're black or white or gay or Muslim or Christian.
It's not going to matter at all. And they will try to do it if we let them.
They're gonna.
And this is also one of the reasons. This is one of the reasons, Melke, why they want to disarm you guys so badly, so that you can't push back, so that you're helpless.
Yep.
They just sweep you up, off you go, Pacific. You're gonna be going in human waves against China. If you all die, then we're gonna send more human waves against China. Right. Whatever, we're gonna lose the war, but meanwhile, we're getting rid of. Military age men who might be a risk to us because, hey, they might stage a revolution against all this corruption and this cesspool in Washington and sweep us out of power. So better off we get them all slaughtered across the Pacific.
This is what the American people and people all over the world have to understand. They don't care how many of us die as long as they stay in power. And that is our children.
They do care. They do care. They do. The more, the better.
Exactly. Okay, Alex Craner, amazing work. You're prolifically putting out great work. Can you tell my audience how to follow you, where to find you? Also, everyone, please support independent journalists here and around the world like Alex Craner. We don't know what's coming, but they are losing the narrative. They are losing corporate media. They are in a panic. So you got to stay in touch directly with everyone that you trust that's out there telling the truth. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, we need to rejoice, stand together, close the ranks, and not give in, not give one inch. The only way for us to lose is to accept defeat, to surrender. And so, yeah, that's what we need to do. People can find me on X. My handle is @NakedHedgy. And I publish a Substack called Alex Craner's Trend Compass. And from there, easy to find other platforms where
and
I'm
we'll
active.
Put all your links below. Alex Craner, always an honor to talk to you. Keep up the great work. And God bless you, my friend. You really do keep me sane. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you. Always
next
a
time.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me. Until the next time. Bye.
Great. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, will double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared, and that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield. He's got a Kid Z Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z Flu, Z Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty, and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkshow.com. Go to our partners page, goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who's dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They matter to him. They matter to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious. The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it, and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter, and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel K. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is gonna look like. I'm gonna do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm gonna bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof, it's cancel proof, it's truth, it's transparency, it's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel K, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started.